one of the churches that I was in previously, we had a women's program that we used to run, and we would come together on certain evenings and have people come in and speak to us. One of the guest speakers arrived this particular night, and you know, they'd be on anything, any sort of topics, anything they really wanted to do. This particular night, this speaker came in, unbeknownst to us, and decided that she wanted to get us into partners, to partner up with someone and to prophesy over each other, to seek a word from God for each other. And so, knowing the sort of church it was in, I sat there just a little bit worried, because I know some of them came from quite conservative backgrounds and that was going to be a real stretch for them. Well, this woman walked in that I had seen once before. I didn't know anything about her. She was a woman from the community, and I sat there just a little bit more worried. And when it got to the point in time where the speaker said, okay, I want you to partner up with someone, I caught the eye of a woman from church called Lisa, who I knew was quite mature and would handle things very sensitively. And we sort of, by sign language, she understood that I wanted her to partner, that we really didn't know, had just arrived that night. We'd seen her once or twice before. So Lisa partnered up with this woman and sat with her, and so they just said, oh, well, let's just listen to God. So Lisa turned her after a little while and said, I just feel like God wants you to know that God loves you. And Lisa told me later that when she said that, she just went, oh, yeah, good one, Lisa. You know, well, everyone knows God loves them. So Lisa went, I just want you to know that God loves you and that he created everything from you. And this woman just cried. And cried and cried. And it came out that 3 or 4 days beforehand, she had delivered a stillborn baby. And that very day had been the funeral for the baby. She sat at home that night, not wanting to stay there, but didn't know where to go, and just picked up the piece of paper that had the meeting details on it for our meeting. And she turned up, she sat with a woman called Lisa, and Lisa told her that God loved her and that he created everything from her. Now, God met her in the most amazing way and profound way that night to provide comfort and encouragement and support to her. I have another friend who, in another woman in a previous, a number of years ago, had a prophetic word over her life that she would be a missionary, that she and her family would go off and do missional things. So she and her family prayed over it, and they felt that they were to be going with a certain organisation. So she sold her business, and she felt that God had confirmed with her an amount that she was to sell her business for. She sold her business. They went off, applied to this organisation, went off through the selection process, and the mission organisation turned her down. So she came back to the church with no business, and a fairly jaded faith. So did God speak to her? Was it a true word? How does this prophetic stuff happen? Because I reckon if we go around for every amazing story about prophecy, we have another story. Someone here would say, oh, but I heard about a situation where, something negative or quite difficult happened. So given that David has been encouraging us to really seek to hear God's voice and to seek to obtain prophetic words for this church and to see prophecy start to work through, my aim today is really to go, how does it work? How do we do it? And how does it work in this place here? Now, I get a gig 2 weeks, this week and in 2 weeks' time. So today my aim is to talk about how should it work here in church, and in 2 weeks' time we're going to talk a bit about, well, I'm going to talk, you're going to listen, a bit about, we're going to talk together, a bit about how do we hear God and how does it actually work out in a mission, in a missional sense. Because if we think about the triangle, prophecy is not just about revelation from God or the up aspect, and it's not just about prophecy occurring here in the church, it's about prophecy, prophetic ministry occurring through us out there. So how does that actually work? So today we're going to focus on that in the next sort of 15, 20 minutes or so. So let's start with, is prophecy the real deal? Well, the short answer is yes. clearly in the Bible we hear a whole lot of stuff in the Old Testament and the New Testament about prophets, about people being anointed of God, people speaking out God's words. And so the thing that we need to think about today is how does that actually work for us? Because we can go through a whole lot of scripture about Jonah and, you know, Jeremiah and the Old Testament model, but I actually think it's more particular to us today to actually go, well, how does it work here? So Paul, if we start with Ephesians 4, where we look at the fact that, just before that, let's start from a common base, that the Spirit at Pentecost falls on all people. So there is no one misses out. And we've had a number of sermons around Pentecost time where we, you know, talk about the fact that the Spirit falls on all people. Your sons and daughters, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Just as a side note, I think back in those days, most of the guys here would be considered old men, but, you know. So if you think you're a young man and you want to dream, see visions, maybe God wants you to dream dreams. But that's up to God to work. So Ephesians 4, where we look at what life shapes would call a pentagon, and we talked about this at camp, what is our role in life? And it talks about there were some from verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So prophets are one of five roles that God calls us, and what's the purpose is to build the church up to maturity. So it's prophecy or prophets is part of the role as a building ministry. It's part of building the church up to maturity. Now, if you actually put this in context in Ephesians 4, at either end of these passages is a passage sandwiched between these two passages is information about unity and love. So at the beginning of verse 4, chapter 4, he puts all of the roles of the pentagon within the context of the community. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. All are called. This is not just about being called to ministry. Calling you have received is about us being called as Christians. So no one misses out there either. So all of us are called. We all need to live a life worthy of the calling. Be humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So it's unity within the church that's forged out of loving relationships with each other. And after this passage, he then goes on to describe the roles in ministry. So out of a basis of love and unity, we then get the roles of the ministry. And at the end of the chapter, he then comes back to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. So at the end of chapter 4, you've got these two blocks where Paul talks about unity, love, compassion, community. And within that block, you've then got the amount that talks about the roles within the church of how to build each other up, how to bring each other to maturity. And one of those roles is prophets. So therefore, we have to engage with what is a prophet, what is prophecy, so that we as a community can actually be as mature as the kingdom of God. We have to work out how does this work in a way that loves one another and that brings each other to maturity. So the next passage we need to go to is 1 Corinthians 14, because that's where Paul talks a lot about prophecy in the slab of chapters from chapter 12 to chapter 14, prophet or prophecy occurs 20 times in those three chapters. So he has a little bit to say about what is prophets, what are prophets, what's the right vernacular, who are prophets and how does it actually occur? I knew David would know. Some linguistic person would work it out. So it's a building ministry, and in 1 Corinthians 14, if we work through this, the first thing that Paul talks about is that we should desire it. So chapter 14, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And part of that is Paul saying it's a building ministry. It's a way of releasing things in people's lives. It's a way of me speaking through you to others. So, and then he goes on to clarify from verse 3, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. In the Amplified Bible, talks about the one who prophesies speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. So in that, in chapter 14, a lot of the information about prophecy, he sits alongside information about speaking in tongues. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole bit about speaking in tongues, but part of it is that speaking in tongues is for personal edification. You know, that's part of what's... He's not saying it's wrong, but he's saying if we really want the church to be built up, what you should do is eagerly desire to prophesy, because that speaks of intelligent words and therefore speaks of God to people. That makes sense? Yep. So we can all prophesy, because it talks about it in verse 31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So all can prophesy, and it's a spiritual gift we're told to eagerly desire. And why is that? Well, again, it's for the building up of the church and so that we might all become mature in faith. I'm just banging on about this because that's the aim of it and that's the underpinning of it. It's not for some bless me club. It's not for us to go, ooh, isn't this amazing? We're seeing prophecy occur. It's not about fortune telling. It's about helping each other to mature in faith. And part of the whole thing that is how we actually use it within the church. Now I need to work out where I am. Part of the thing too is that we assume, we walk into church and we meet people and we assume that we know where they're at. You know, we look at someone and we assume that we know where we're at, but God knows what's going on in your life. Like that woman who walked into the meeting, when I looked at her, I thought, she looks all right, you know, she's in a good place. Oh no. You know, God knew that she needed an amazing level of comfort and encouragement that particular night. So we look at situations and we meet people, even here at church, and we think we know what's going on in their lives, but God knows all. God knows whether someone needs encouragement. God knows whether someone needs some confirmation of direction about how they're to go. God knows what it is that is needed for particular people at particular times. So that's part of us eagerly desiring to see each other grow up and mature in our faith. So how does it occur safely? Because that's the key thing. We want it to occur. Paul clearly talks about it occurring, so how does it actually occur safely in here, Stonington? And again, we talk about the revelation being the up, the interpretation being the in, and the application being the out. So part of God gives us revelation, and in 2 weeks' time we'll talk about listening to God and how is it that we work out if it's from God. But part of what I want to talk about today is the in and the out. How it's, because it's a... I've lost my word now. Because it's something we do is actually work out if the word is from God. Okay, so we can get revelation from God, but the onus then is to test the word and work out what it's about. Okay, so let's have a bit of a look at testing the word, and that's part of our responsibility. And 1 Corinthians 14:29 clearly says, well, how does it work in the church? And it's part of a section that they talk about, Paul talks about orderly worship. You know, God is a God of order, not of disorder. So therefore, how does prophecy occur within our church? Well, he says, two or three should speak, and others should weigh carefully what is said. Now, it doesn't necessarily say that that should happen in a service. It just says, when two or three speak, you should weigh, others of you should sit and weigh what is being said. So that then we can see Paul saying, work it out. Use your brains. Don't leave them at the front door. You know, we are intelligent people. Sit with God and work out whether what is being said is from God. 1 Thessalonians 5. Do a bit of skipping. verse 20. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Now, when I was thinking about this last night, there are two ways that we show contempt of prophecy. One is that we just don't believe it occurs, and so therefore we ignore it. We're contemptuous of it as a whole. And the second way that we're contemptuous of prophecy is that we treat it without weight. We act like we are God's voice, and therefore we are above being accountable, or we're above being tested. So the two ways we're contemptuous, one is we act like it shouldn't occur, and the second one is that we act like it's above accountability. But clearly what Paul is saying is, no, bring it accountable, bring it to the church. It's part of the church being built up. So within that, make sure it's tested and it's valid. 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So some of the ways that we test things. Don't be gullible, but God provides us with the brain to work things out. Is it scripturally accurate? Is it? Now, some prophecies, some words, really have no direct link to a scripture. You know, if I said to David, because I won't pick on anyone else, if I said to David, God is calling you to be a missionary in Africa, well, I wouldn't say that. Let's hypothetically, David being my husband, I don't particularly want to go and live in Africa, but, you know, if he received a prophetic word saying you're going to be a missionary in Africa, well, it's up to him to weigh whether he and I felt that that's what God wanted us to do. Now, there was a time where Dave and I were in a meeting together sitting, and it was a network ministers meeting. And they had organised a couple of people who were very strong in the prophetic gifting. Now, there are some people who work very strongly in a prophetic ministry. So just like David has very strong teaching ministry and has spent years and years and years learning and refining his gift and his role, all of us can teach, all of us have the ability to teach. But David has refined his role. There are some people who have refined their prophetic gifting and have spent years learning and being put in a place of being accountable for that. So they operate like way up and end. All of us can prophesy, but there are some who are very gifted in it. So anyway, they organised a couple of these people to come and they spoke a word over David. Now, I don't remember what the particular word was, but at the end of the meeting, a couple of people came up and said to Dave, oh, they nailed you, didn't they? And David just turned to me and went, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know that, I just need to sit with it and work the word through. So that's part of what we do. We can sit there and work through with what is said to us. So that's part of our responsibility if we receive a prophetic word is to go, is it right? Is it for me? Is it for now? So it could well be that prophetic words are spoken and they're not for now, but for some time in the future. 12 months ago, we were at Sheffield, and when we got there, they said, we've had people praying over you guys. You'll see on the right-hand side of the stage, there are pink sheets of paper. Every one of you will have one. There are words of prophecy on them. Go and pick them up and work out whether they're from God or not. So my prophetic word said, this person said, I really feel that God wants to take you deeper in prayer. And I went, oh, really? So I just put it in my Bible and put it away. Like, it didn't mean anything particularly great to me at that point in time. 2 months ago, when I started training it into the city with my job, I ran into the study one morning to grab a book, and the book that was sitting on the top of the pile was Richard Foster's book on prayer. So I just picked it up, ran off to the train and started reading that morning and went, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And so for me, the last 2 months have been a journey of God taking me deeper in prayer. Now, 12 months ago, when I looked at that word, I just went, is there more? A bit selfish, but, you know, is that all? And when I sat there on the train and started reading the book, I remembered about that word 12 months ago, and I went, now I understand. You know, now it's coming to light. So there are some prophetic words that are spoken that are not for now, but God will use them in the future. And so that's okay. So part of the other thing is, does the prophetic words sit with us? And by that I mean we all have gut reactions to things. Prophetic words occur on a spiritual level as well as on a spoken level. So there's something about when you receive or someone prays for you, there will be some times that you just go, oh, that was God. I really feel that, you know, there's something that occurs deep within you that connects you with what is being said. So there is the situation of sitting what I call your gut feeling. Now, in a whole lot of work that I've done, we often talk about what's your gut telling you? What's your gut saying? Is your hunch to go right? And often that is on a deeper level than our mental thinking through. So there are two ways we can test. We can test it through, is it scripturally valid? Does it sit with us now? And what's our spirit saying? Well, that's three. What's our spirit saying? So there are various ways that we can test it. So let's just briefly recap before I finish up. Prophecy is a valid role in life. We can't deny that. So we need to work out how we actually engage with it in a safe way. Prophecy is for the strengthening, the encouragement and the comfort of people. Every single one of you sitting here today can prophesy. For the comfort, edification and strengthening of the community. For the building up of the church. Prophecy can and should be tested. Okay? So then how should it work here? Some of the things I want us to think about is there are three things that often when we receive a word, is it applicable to me? Is it applicable to someone else? Or is it applicable to the wider church? So when we receive, whether it's a scripture, whether it's a picture, whether it's words, whatever it is, what we need to think through, is it applicable to me? Is God speaking to me? And if it is, then you can use it to reflect and pray through with God. Is God speaking to me for someone else? That's the second way. Write it down. Be accountable. There is no such thing as private prophecy. You know, what we don't want to see here at Stonington, and very rarely will I use prescriptive words, but in this particular instance I will, we should never take someone off to a corner one-on-one and tell them something we believe God said to them. That's private and that should never occur. There is personal prophecy where God speaks to people and we should always have the ability to be accountable for what we have said to someone else. Now, is that a bit scary? Well, maybe, and there is always a danger that we're going to have a bad curry the night before and what we are praying about or the picture that we get is more about our own frustrations or comes from us than from God. But we shouldn't not do it. You know, we shouldn't toss everything out just because there's a danger that we might not quite hit the mark. That's about being in a community. Remember the basis that we started from, live in unity, grace, love, respect, you know, all those sort of things. So as we start to interact with each other, you know, even the language we use, it can be about, instead of saying, thus saith the Lord, you know, it can be, I really feel like God is saying today, blah, blah, blah. So it's about going, you know what, I'm not right. You know, there are many times I've been off the mark, but I'm not going to not step out for the sake that I might be. So it's about some of the language we use, it's about how we treat each other, and it's about making sure that we're not coming from a position of frustration or we're not speaking out of our own stuff rather than what God wants to speak through us. Does that make sense? Nods. Yep. Is the word for the wider church? So the third way it happens, it's either for us, for someone else, or for the wider church. And if it's for the wider church, then here at Stonington, what we suggest is that we write it down and we hand it to the leaders. We trust that those who've been put in leadership have the ability to discern God and will prayerfully seek God's counsel on it. So It's not just about... Now, if you're sitting in church one Sunday and you sit there going, oh, really, I have this strong sense that God wants us to hear something, then you talk to David. If he's preaching, maybe wait till he finishes. But... Or he's playing guitar, you know, wait till there's a right moment and say something to him. If God really wants something to come out in a service on a Sunday morning, he'll make it evident. We have to trust God in that. So prophecy is about being part of a safe community. Its use is for the building up of each other. It has a very valid place here at Stonington. We can all do it and we all have the responsibility to support and encourage each other in doing it and in seeing it prosper and work in the way that God wants it to work. God is a God who speaks to us all the time, and we'll go into this in 2 weeks' time. God is a God who communicates with us all the time, and God wants to communicate through us to other people, and that's part of the dynamic of prophetic ministry working in mission, and that's what we'll look at in a couple of weeks. So what we need to think about is how to encourage each other to see it happen, seeing God at work in and through us, releasing the dreams and visions, and seeing his kingdom come to this place. Because that's what we want to do. We want to grow up, don't we? We want to be mature in faith. We want to be a church where people walk in the door and say, God is here, because of the people that they meet and the way that God works through us in their life. Not in some kooky way, not in some way that, you know, is dangerous, but in a community that grows and develops in the kingdom of God. Part of the picture that I'll finish on this, part of the challenge for me, and I'll talk in 2 weeks' time about the streams of living water, and often we're little dams. You know, we don't have streams. We think, God, give us your Holy Spirit, and God pours his Spirit on us, and we just keep it to ourselves. You know, we dam it in. But bizarrely, I was watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and there was that ad, I think they've taken it off, that guy about a deodorant ad, and, you know, and he just sprays everywhere, and his girlfriend has the raincoat on, and, you know, finally he gets links and his problem solved. We really need to be people who just spray the kingdom of God everywhere. Because part of it is the streams of water flowing through us, and that's not damming it in, but allowing God to work through us to minister, not just here, not as a little bless me club, but out there in the power of the kingdom of God, meeting people where they're at. And see, it's not about the spectacular. I get a bit tired. I don't want the spectacular, but I want the supernatural. I don't want the spectacular, but I want the supernatural. I want God's dynamic of ordinary little me can walk somewhere, meet someone, and God works through me to touch them. That's the power of God. That's the power of his kingdom, and that's what we want to see here. Prophecy is valid. We need it here. We need to operate as a safe community to see God move through us and in us to reach everyone else out there and here. Build us up, mature us, make us followers and disciples of Jesus in the power of his kingdom.